It is my honor and privilege to present to you today our special speakers. And I have to be careful, Pastor, because I have said on multiple occasions, Vane and Jan. It's Jan and Vane. I don't know what that's about. It's Van and Jane Blaws, but sometimes I've been in a conversation and said, oh, Vane and Jan, and they said, what? I said, no, sorry. The Blosses are here this morning to kind of share with you what it is that they've been doing, the call of God on their heart, and to report to you how God is working and moving in our world. And we need that encouragement. And they were pastors at Word of Hope for 23 years. And then you worked for about 16-something years at the denominational level, at the conference level, I should say. And then the Lord moved them quick. There was the call, and he said, go, and they said, okay. And so what they've been doing since then is they've been serving God by pastoring leaders. They are involved in leadership development at the highest places you can be in different parts of the world. They're leading leaders, and that is a beautiful thing. And they are here to share with you today what God is doing. And to talk about prayer and the importance of that, I'm going to ask Miss Jan, just kidding, Miss Jane, to come up and share with you first. Will you give her a hand as she comes to share?
Because you're not the only one, Pastor.
Oh, hallelujah.
We've been called everything. Vanny and Janny. I was called Mr. Jane last week, and you just, it's okay. I know who I am.
Amen.
Amen. If you know who you are in Jesus, it's okay. So good to see all these faces that came in after I sat down. It's nice to be here. Thank you. Van's going to share more in depth of what we're doing, but I just wanted to say that as you came in, Barbara, my special friend here that was with us at Word of Hope, she gave you our newsletter. And that newsletter we send out periodically. You won't find us on the web. And let me tell you why. Because the areas of the world, and especially India, where we focus a lot, because there's like 3,500 at least areas in India that have no access to the gospel. You know, I sat here this morning and I was so grateful. You know, your worship was awesome. Thank you, worship team. I don't look so great now and I don't have time to put makeup on in between, but I really don't care. So you just have to take me like I am. But, you know, I was listening to this worship and entering in and I thought, my God, here we sit with such an opportunity to worship this Jesus and to know that he's a bondage breaker. Yeah. He sets the captive free. I've been set free from I can't tell you how many things in my life. And yet, it's easy to forget that there are places in our world that have never even heard the name of Jesus. Because they've not been given the opportunity. The gospel is not there. So that's why we go. Because they need the same opportunity to cry, to worship, and to have a heart that's so full of gratitude that it just bubbles over and it flows. And I know that as I look around here, many of you come from many parts of the world. And I'm glad. But it's our responsibility, not just Dan and mine, but it's all of our responsibility to make sure that people have the same opportunity that we just enjoy. Amen?
Amen.
Now that's a little hard to grasp, but it's true. We're all either goers or we're senders. And that's why we're here, is because we want to remind you that God has a call on your life, possibly to be a goer. You may think, I'll never go, so did I. You may never go to a part of the world. You think, I'll just be home and be a sender, but God may have a different purpose for your life. But if that isn't the case, you are to be a sender. And a prayer. So that's why we have newsletters, because we want you to pray that God continues to anoint us as he sends us, that we reach people groups in the world. world and places that have no access to the gospel. We don't go and labor where people already have access. We want to train and lead and send nationals to the place who speak the language and can touch them with the gospel. The other thing is, I'm not going to tell you all about this, but inside this pamphlet, I put some on the table back there. It says, what makes a person a world changer? And if you want to know if you're one of those persons, on your way out, you pick up one of these. Amen? I'm a world changer. And you may be and don't realize it. And you may not be, and you may become one after reading this. And last but not least, before I fix that man over there, if you're in this, and you are, if you live in this area of the world, you are a techie person, you are internet, and snail mail is almost out for you. So if you would prefer my newsletter electronically, and if you're still into snail mail, you can also sign up. So this is here, and we would just love to have you see what God's doing overseas. Can I do one more thing? You know, as you were talking and singing in this worship team, it was too awesome. Almost every song, Pastor, it made me think about where we are in the mission field. And I will tell you, when you were singing about the power in the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, saints, there's more power in that name than we people who live in America can comprehend. It was one of our first trips that we were overseas. And I remember, we don't do crusades now because in India, it's becoming very closed. And every time he and I go, we wonder if they're going to look at us at when we fly into Delhi, and they look at us and say, just like they have many others, you go out tomorrow. Because India is closing very quickly. It's becoming very anti-Christ, even though they, quote, have freedom of religion. It's not true. But nevertheless, so when we were holding this crusade, I remember walking up to an individual just about this far from Pastor. And I was shaking the hands with the ladies who sat on the ground, and she came toward me. And as I went like this, this woman fell on the ground, thrashing under the power of demonic activity. And I began to take authority, and Van and the other pastor came over, and we began to pray. And in a matter of moments, God delivered because of the name of Jesus. And so when she got up and she was free, you could just see the whole face change, the whole body language change. And the pastor had spoken to the demon that was in her, and the demon said these words, Jesus, I've been expecting you. I've been here for 3 months. But when you began to pray, I felt the fire. And he said, I'm leaving. And at that moment, that woman was delivered. And I tell you that because we believers here in America speak the name of Jesus very freely. We just speak his name. It's comfortable for us. But we have no idea what happens in the spirit realm when the demonic spirits that inhabit this atmosphere, when they hear that name, how powerful that name is. So I want you to know that, not just for your personal life, but when you minister and pray for people and you speak that name of Jesus, you know one thing. Nothing's going to be the same. Because when Jesus walks into the scene of a person's life, and that name is spoken, all hell has to move. So I thank you, and I give you this prayer sheet, and I'm not gonna, I inserted it because I want you to put it in your Bible. It's something the Holy Spirit gave me personally that you pray for missionaries. When you pray, prayer is good, but you need to pray strategically, specifically, and when you pray this, the name of Jesus is going to move all hell and God's work's going to get completed. So God bless you. And now my other half of Vanny, Vanny's going to come.
Pastor Ben, thank you and your church elders for the opportunity of speaking to your folks this morning. And it's a privilege to see, wow, longtime friends and now new friends, and to be with you this morning. 2007, we left the church in Wheaton after the 23 years to do this full time. We've been traveling to the nations, mostly to India a lot, until more recently, where God has taken us into some of the African countries now, also into Eastern Europe, where we're in the Ukraine this year. Going back to these places next year, January, going back to India for about 4 or 5 weeks, and training the nationals there again at their request. The prophet Habakkuk in chapter 1, verse 5 said, "Look to the nations and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your time that you would not believe even if you were told it." What Jane and I have been privileged to see happening with new people coming to Christ and churches planted is even hard for my mind to comprehend. Probably 5 years ago, a young man in India was in one of our trainings. No one knew, not even our present Bishop Michael at the time, who was simply a church planter and a trainer at the time for us, that he didn't even know what had happened. But 3 years after that training, he got a call from this young pastor. And he said, "Pastor Michael," he says, "I need you to come." He said, we have planted in the last 3 years since that training 105 churches. He says, "I don't know what to do now. And so will you come and teach us more?" So he went and he talked for 3 more days and preached 3 evenings there. And as you saw in the pictures that's been running, out of that time, they baptized 76 new believers out of Hinduism, animism, into Jesus Christ, into the kingdom of God, and planted more churches with them. This is Book of Acts stuff. You know, I was speaking at a church not long ago, and I was preaching from chapter 2 and about the meeting in the house. And it hit me that in Acts chapter 2, an old thing we know, Peter, when he preached, 3,000 came to the Lord in one day. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking what I'm seeing that's hard for my mind to comprehend. Because the prophet said, "I'm going to do something in your day that even if you were told it, you would not believe it." And my mind is still saying, man, 3,000 in one day, the Holy Spirit's still doing an awesome work in our world. You know, in the Chinese church, we have 100,000 right now being trained as missionaries from the underground church in China to go to the nations. India is not only beginning to reach their own as they're trained, they're reaching to the nations around them. And thousands are coming to the Lord every day. And you say, wow, that is great. Yes, but in India alone, 90-some thousand are being born every day. If you plant a house church and they average 25, you do the math. How many house churches will still need to be planted to keep up with just the birth rate in India that is expected to surpass China in population by 2025? We have work to do. That's why I'm here. That's why Jane and I keep on going. Somebody said, "Are you retired?" I said, "Nope, we've refired." Look at somebody and say, "You don't get to retire, you need to refire." Amen. And so I don't care how old you are, if you're breathing, we all have a work to do. Amen. And so just a couple things as you're watching the slides. We have 2 men recently in the last couple years. Jaya Singh, we had a training in his village church. And he got a hold of our training. He is now certified to teach what we teach. But now he is being supported as God supplies every month. That he is doing three trainings in his own with his own people to do church planting. There are two ladies on one of those slides. They was in one of the trainings. And they came to him after his training on church planting movements. And they said, we didn't know how we were going to get the money to build a church building. And we want you to support us. And we came to get support. And we came to get money for church building, find out how to do that. But after you taught us today, we found out we need to be in more than one location. We don't need a church building. We need people's homes who come to Christ. Amen. Amen. And so that's the direction they began to go. And so there, every picture has a story. That's J.S. Singh there. There's the 76 being baptized. There is Deneep. In fact, Deneep was trained back about 2006 when we first started going to India. And now he has, in two different states, at least 25 church-based training centers. Got an email from him earlier this year. He says, we're training 500 believers in Christ and expecting them to plant 5,000 churches by 2020. I'm hearing this, and they're doing it, and my mind keeps going back to Habakkuk 1:5. Look to the nations, for I'm going to do something in your time, in your day, that you would not believe it, even if you were told it. Now, some of you, and I know we're international here, and I love this setting. And I moved to the South, and we're not quite as international where we are, and I miss it. But I love the nations. I love God's people. And I love the Muslim. I love the Buddhist. I love the Hindu. Listen to me. I love the animists because God loves them. Amen. Now, look at somebody and say, God loves everybody. Everybody. Amen. And so with that said, I've come, where did I put it? I want to talk to you for the next few minutes about this boot and this slipper. Now, if I'm going to go into rugged territory and I'm going to do mountain climbing or I'm going to go into very rugged terrain where it's hard to reach. And let's say you were doing that. Which one would you want? This, not this. Right? Because this gives no protection for my feet. This one is going to give me all kinds of protection. Nice covering. Man, look at that sole. I can tread on every place. Amen? And then I have two laces. I can tie it up tight, just right for me or for you, right? So I want to talk to you for a few minutes about keeping the feet of the missionary beautiful. Too many churches, too many organizations are sending out their missionaries with this. Cross-denominationally and missions organizations, 50% of missionaries are returning home after a very short period of time, most of them earlier than they expected, and they're coming back wounded and needing healing. How can we keep their feet beautiful? How can we keep them on the field doing what they feel like God has called them to do? So that's what I want to talk about. Everyone here is either a giver or an intercessor or a goer. Jane and I are goers. We're also intercessors. And I can tell you this morning, we also send. So we are supporting, we are praying, and we are going. Somebody here may be like that. But how do we keep them going? So I want to talk to you as senders this morning, how to keep the missionary, not just Jane and I, any missionary, because we have an awesome missionary force in our organization. I know them. I work with them. They are awesome God-called people producing good fruit in the kingdom of God. Look at somebody and say, we have a good mission organization. Amen. And Jane and I are very glad to be a part of that. So, what do we need? I need this. One, this boot, first of all, has a covering. Good covering. A snake's not going to bite through that. Thorns aren't going to prick my feet through it. This is the covering of prayer. Nothing happens without prayer. The church is the only force that is confronting the kingdom of Satan. We don't confront it simply by saying, "Satan, I rebuke you." We confront the forces of Satan through intercessory spiritual warfare praying. We pray in the Holy Ghost. You know, we many of us know and can quote from Ephesians about the armor of God. But we stop short many times because when he came to the end of all that armor, he said, "And pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." And there are times, Paul said in Romans 8, when we don't know how to pray, but the Spirit makes intercession through us. Somebody needs to get in the devil's face and praying for the missionaries that they will have the covering of God's protection. Amen? We need anointing to be continued and increased. We need discerning of spirits. We need to have all the gifts of the Spirit operating in our life. And we need to know that when we eat the food where we go, or we get into situations, that our bodies will stay well because we have a God who is Jehovah Rapha, who is our healer. Now forgive me if I'm preaching, but I know from firsthand, my wife, she fell down steps after a meeting, hit her arm, thought it was going to be one of those kind of things, we're going to have to take her for emergency. We prayed, nothing happened to her arm. But it wasn't just us praying, it was a prayer base that we have, that God has raised up and given to us. Pastor, when I was over here at Wheaton, we raised up MVPs, most valuable players. You know who they were? Pastor's prayer partners. We had 23 prayer partners personally that every day prayed one day a week. We had 3 people a day approximately that not only prayed for Jane and I as their pastors, they fasted that day. And they prayed and they focused on God's protection and anointing and giftings for us as their pastors. That's an MVP, most valuable player. I remember Jane was on a train. And if you've ever been on that, anybody from India here? Okay, way in the back. If you've ever been on an Indian train and you're traveling in 2AC, you have 6 places to sleep. 4 on this side, top and bottom, and over by the window. During the day, when you want to sit, you fold part of that bed up, and it latches. And Jane was sitting there, and she had stretched her feet across to the other one, and she was just relaxing while we were traveling. But what would have been put up and latched, and these are heavy, steel, metal, that latch let loose, came down across her legs. Excruciating pain. She thought she was going to have to come home with 2 broken legs. But I've got news for you. She prayed in the Spirit, and I know we had prayer partners praying for us on that trip, and nothing happened to those legs. That's the power of prayer. We need your prayer support. That is the covering. It is the prayer. When I was on my first trip to Uganda, Africa, in the hotel at 3 in the morning, when that guy threatened my life and wanted to get into my room and used a long rod coming through the bars into a table where my keys were laid, that he took those keys. But when he put them in the lock of my room to get in, they broke off in the lock and he couldn't get to me. That's the power of prayer. Yes. Now look at someone and say, "Pray for them." And if you have no other reason, I need your prayer. Amen. So that is anointing for teaching, anointing for preaching, anointing for healings when we're on the field, anointing for protection. That's why 600 Hindus come to Christ in 2 nights when we did crusades. set them down three times the second night because I couldn't believe that many had never heard the name Jesus. Simple gospel message. And after I became convinced, talking to those who understood English, those young people, I said, God is at work. And I remember Habakkuk 1:5. Look to the nations, for I'm going to do something in your day that even if you were told, you would not believe. I could not believe as an American pastor who we're glad if we get five in a year, that 602 nights come to Christ who had never heard the gospel before. But my heart became convinced. I said, God is at work. Now look at someone and say, God is working. God is. He's moving by his spirit in all the earth. Amen. I'm going to move right on, okay? Because the soul holds us in place. It keeps us on the field. Not just your prayer, but your giving. Now look at someone and say, going to talk about money. Now don't worry, I'm not taking an offering. But I'm going to talk about money for the missions and people who do missions. Because we cannot go ye without the money. Amen? So 1 Corinthians 9:14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Why do I need money? Why do any missionary? Because same reason you do. They got to eat. They got to dress. They've got to have transportation. They've got to have fuel. All the things, the necessities of just living, they need. It's called the bread and butter. Amen. That's the monthly support. But besides that, when we get on the field, just like Jane and I, we got to raise money to go. We help pay for the trainings. We got to have a place to stay when we're there. We got to eat while we're there, though we travel back and forth to the nations. But missionaries live there, but they also have to have travel expense. They have to have the money to do the trainings. There's projects, buildings, there's tools, there's wells, there's bicycles, there's you name it. There's all kinds of tools that need to be provided besides Bible and possibly literature. Paul had 23, at least 23 partners in the New Testament that I counted between people and churches. And what he accomplished in the New Testament record probably could not have been done without those partners. Amen. And so we're saying we need to keep the feet beautiful on the mission field. Amen. So let me talk about these. You ready for this? Y'all listening too close. Don't scare me. The one soul represents encouragement. You say, oh, they're called. They know what they're doing. They can encourage themselves. I mean, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, do you know, probably 2 years ago, we got a call from a young man. He's now a father. He's not a young man anymore. But he was in a camp, and we also was in his church holding revival, and Jane preached one night. And he called, Andy called, and he reminded her of a message that she preached. Do you know the encouragement that came from knowing that a person who is now a grown with his own kids, who's gone to college and they're getting married, that when you get a call from somebody that through the years that you've had an impact on, it doesn't have to be much. A phone call, an email, something, a one-liner says, we're praying for you. We're believing God to produce through you. We haven't forgotten you. Just wanted to let you know. Do you understand what a little note like that does to a person if they're especially in a hard place? If they're on the field thinking, maybe I shouldn't be here, maybe I need to go home, a little note can keep them for the next year. That's the lace of encouragement. Remembering the special days and the holidays. Let me talk to you about the other lace. This one is the lace of practical help. Paul wrote to Timothy when he was in Rome in prison. He said to Timothy, he said, the cloak that I left in Troas, my coat, I left it with Carpus. When you come, would you bring that to me? That's practical. we live spiritual lives in a very practical world. So missionaries need practical help as well. He said, when you come, bring it, and the books, and especially the scriptures, the parchments, bring them to me. And so Timothy, he knew he could count on for practical help, that when he would come visit, that he would have the things that his heart desired to have that he did not have. Let me say it like this. I've been away from home now 2 weeks. Our grass has grown. But my neighbor Jeff, from the moment we moved in back in 07, looked at us and he said, our contribution to your ministry is we're going to take care of your yard while you're away. His daughter picks up our mail so I don't have to have it stopped. They have a key to my house, and when I get home on Monday or Tuesday, tomorrow, Tuesday, whatever day it is, my mail will be sitting on the counter in my kitchen. That's practical helps. And missionaries need practical helps. If they're career missionaries, they live and they come home. They may need a vehicle to drive if you have a spare one. They may be in need of raising more support. So if you know a pastor or a church that has an interest in missions that they don't know, refer them. Give them a good recommendation. That's practical help. If you're not supporting them, say, God, what can I do to help them? I don't have anything, but you speak to my heart and what you want to provide. I'll give it for them and help them get back on the field. Those are the practical help things. Maybe a ride to the airport, one of the three that you have here. It may take you 2 hours each way. But that's what we call practical help. Amen? And so, and there's much more. I'm sure your brains are going 100 miles an hour, and you're probably doing already some of these things at least. But I came just to say, if you're doing it, keep doing it. If you're not, consider some of these things. Amen? Prayer, giving, encouragement, and practical help. You don't have to remember me and Jane. Remember this boot. Because we want to keep the feet of the missionaries beautiful. How shall they go? What is it? Romans 10. How are they going to hear except somebody goes? And how are they going to go except they're sent? But I can tell you, when they go, somebody's coming to Christ. And every one of these things will be worth it. I'm going to end with a story, and Pastor Ben's going to come. And I believe this is going to lead us into the Lord's Supper this morning. But on the slide that you saw earlier was a picture of a lady sitting. Her name's Florence. Yes. Florence is, she's my joy. You say, why? Is it Lake Victoria, Uganda, earlier this year? And I had some free time in the afternoon, and so I thought, well, I'll just walk down because there's all kinds of restaurants and cafes, and I'm a coffee drinker. Anybody like coffee here? Yeah, you're my kind of people. And in fact, I'm missing it right now. But I walked down, and Florence was a server, another guy was serving, and he had to go do something, so it left me in Florence, and Florence went and got my coffee. When she came back, it was just two of us sitting outside watching the water along the beach area, and I said, sit down. So she sat down. I said, what's your name? She said, Florence. And I said to her, because she said, I go by Florence here because everyone's a Christian and I'm a Muslim. And I said, oh, what's your Muslim name? And she told me, she says, but because everybody's Christians here, I go by Florence. And I said to her, when I realized she was Muslim and she spoke good English, I said to her, I said, do you know that God loves you? And she said, no. I said, "He does. God loves you very much." She said, "I don't think so." Opened up a whole conversation, and I quoted John 3:16 to her. And I said to her, I said, "You need to know that the scriptures, our holy scriptures, reveals God's love for us. And I want to get you the Injil." That's the New Testament for a Muslim. It's our New Testament, especially the Gospels. Anyway, to make a long story short, the day before I was leaving to come back to the States, I had the whole day, and I went down and she was there. I could not find in the area I was a Bible to buy, and I have my old big preaching Bible, and I had not marked in it, so that was good. And I sat with her again, and I said, "I want you to read this," and she read John 3:16. She said, "How can I have this?" And I turned to 1 John 1:9, and I said, "Read this," and she read it. And I said, "Now I'm going to go over here and I want you to read." And I turned Romans 3:23 and 6:23 and 10:9 and 10. And I pointed to it and she read them. I didn't read them for her. She read them. And I said to her, "Is this what you really want?" She said, "Oh, yes. This is what I want. I want forgiveness." I said, "You really want to put faith in Jesus Christ alone?" She said, "Yes." And right there at that table on the outside of that beach cafe, she prayed and accepted Jesus Christ into her life. And then I had to really, because I've been a pastor and a theologian and you name it, I'm an educated whatever, and I know what I believe, but I really had to go back to, in my head, she knows nothing. She's never seen a Bible before. Pastor? Not one. And I said to her, I said, "Every book has a name, divided into chapters and verse," and had to show her. And then I had to take her to the index. I said, "You don't know how to find the books, but here are page numbers in the index by the book." And I said, "You're going to read about geographical places where things happen. And in the back, here are maps that'll help you see that. And here's a little concordance. If you want to look for a subject and see what the scripture says, just go here and it'll give you several scriptures. And then you can, you know, by the book, chapter, and verse, find it." And then I said, "But I want you to read, first of all, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because you know that God loves you, right? But you need to know that Jesus loves you very much. And if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to see a man that you're going to fall in love with. God loves you, but now you need to love him more than anything." And I left her sitting with my open Bible at Matthew. I walked down the street and looked back through the hedges where I could see her because I wanted to see what she was doing. And here was a brand new first generation Book of Acts believer who knew nothing, reading Matthew's gospel. Can I tell you, that's why we're taking the Lord's Supper this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you may not know anything this morning. It doesn't matter what you know or don't know. What matters is God said. And if you place your faith in him, all the knowledge will come later. Pastor Ben, thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that.
It's exciting to hear what God is doing, isn't it? It's so easy to just get caught up in our 24/7, 365 life. It's so easy to think that what's in our sphere and what's in our world and what's in our daily is all there is. But I am blessed to know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is going out all over the world. And listen here, we cannot ever underestimate the power of that word. I appreciated so much what, I almost called you Jane. I appreciate so much what Miss Jan told us. That there is power in that name that we just don't understand because we in this country can say it wherever, whenever. It is Jane. She said, Jim, I'm going to call you Vane. I'm a guy friend, so I call you Vane. And we have no idea the power of that name because we have lost it. We have lost it because we just say it. And there's so much power in that name. Power that breaks chains. And the power of the gospel still changes lives. People hear the story and want that. And we are so familiar with the story that we have lost the hope that's in it. And I'm speaking in just sweeping generalizations, I understand. It is such a blessing to me to know that people out there are still hearing that story for the first time and coming to believe on that name for the first time. And their journey has just begun, and that brings me such joy and such peace knowing that God is still doing his thing. I know it is easy for us, especially because of how close we are to Washington, D.C., to get caught up in the hustle and the bustle and all of the stuff. Yes. God is still saving people right now. Yes. The name of Jesus is still changing lives right now. He's still moving in a darkness that we cannot comprehend, and he is still bringing light to places where we will never go. Thank you so much for that word that you bring today. Thank you so much for that. I pray that we will be convicted to amp up our prayers for those who are out there. Today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. I don't know if you know that, but it is. That is today. We celebrate that today. And we remember that there are people out there who are persecuted for their faith. I know that we think that we are persecuted. I know we think that. In the Christian church in the West, we have called discomfort suffering, and we call suffering pain because we're so comfortable we don't even know. There are folks out there who are dying for what they believe. They're not just being persecuted. They haven't just taken prayer out of their schools. They're killing people because of the name of Jesus. They're dying for that name. So I would just encourage you to put these folks on your prayer list. One thing that encourages me is that in this house at Maranatha Fellowship, we believe in the power of prayer. No, that was way too lame. We believe in the power of prayer. We do. We have seen miracles in this house. Not miracles because it happened to somebody else. People in this church have been touched by the supernatural power of God. We have seen broken people made whole. We have seen God do supernatural things in this house. We believe in prayer. And so I covenant with you and commit to you that you're on my prayer list now. Not just when I think about it, not just because you came to my church, but I commit to prayer for you and for your ministry going forward. And I pray that you will as well. I pray that God will move you to commit financially. Money runs the world, folks. That's not okay, and we wish that it wasn't that way, but money runs the world. It just does. Your dollar, as I always say to you, will do more in other places than it does here. It just will. Your dollar will go farther. It will do more ministry than it does here. I'm not saying we don't support ministries on this side of the oceans. I don't say that we don't. I'm not saying we don't do that. I'm just saying, please keep that in mind. And if the Lord so moves you, then be obedient to that. And give to missionaries like the Glosses. Give to missionaries like we're connected with the Appalachian Sioux. I want to give you that opportunity. What a beautiful opportunity we have here today.